to buy it. It is, well, I found it an easy read, and I found it very relevant too. And I hope that you're finding these Sunday mornings relevant. It just seemed appropriate at this time, and it was recommended by the National Big Church Read for this year. So we're following through Jeff's book, and it's all about the story of Daniel. And of course, over the last few weeks, we've seen that Daniel and his friends, who are all teenagers, and they're all between the ages of 13 and 18, they found themselves in a foreign land. They found themselves with a life that they would never have chosen. They've been taken forcibly from their country. They've been taken away from their family, and they've been trafficked to this foreign land, and they are now being molded and shaped by their captors in their ways. And they've lost their homes, their families, and last week we even saw they lost their names. And the question is, how are they going to actually live out and react to these second choice lives and these second choice environments that they find themselves in? This morning, the title is called Breaking Step. And what does that term mean? Well, this is the dictionary definition of breaking step. It means to stop walking or marching with the same rhythm as another or group of people. Now, obviously, when we think of that, we think of soldiers who march together. And when they march in unison, it's quite a pretty amazing thing to watch, isn't it? When they're literally all on the button. And there's a picture of the North Korean ones there. And if you see footage of the North Koreans marching in unison, it's quite impressive. It reminds me a little bit of the Ministry of Silly Walks from Monty Python, but it is quite impressive still how they keep it up for so long. But you know, if one of them is out of step, it messes it all up. It becomes really obvious that something's not quite right. It's very awkward, and it just doesn't look good. Now, Daniel finds himself in a situation where he's been molded and shaped by the Babylonians. But he's about to break step. He's about to break step. Him and his friends about to break step. Let's just read about this in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, 17. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. I just want us to take a step back for a moment, and let's remind ourselves, you know, why was it that God allowed Daniel and his friends to be taken to Babylon? Why did God allow any of his chosen people to end up in exile in Babylon? Well, we know that this was partly judgment, that God had warned his people that if they didn't turn away from idol worship, if they didn't turn away from their sinful behavior, then judgment was coming. And they shouldn't have been shocked or surprised about it. And if you'd said to Daniel and his friends you know, why did God allow this? Why did he allow you to go into exile? They, although they were young, they would have replied with, God sent us here. Jeremiah, who was a contemporary of Daniel, a prophet, and was in exile too, he prophesied that they would be in exile for 70 years, and that's exactly what happens. And Daniel talks about Jeremiah later in the book of Daniel. But God speaks this word through Jeremiah to his people when they're in exile. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. He says, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So it was God who chose and sent his people to Babylon, a nation who do not honor or follow Yahweh. Now, we saw a couple of weeks ago that Babylon was full of many gods. And basically, a person could worship whatever god he wanted to worship. There were just so many. You know, you could pick and choose whatever. When we think about the world in which we live, God has done the same thing for us. Now, we may not be taken from our homes and planted here. The majority of us, I would imagine, were born here and have lived here all our lives. Some of us have been brought here. Some of us are living in the UK, and they would rather not live in the UK. It's not their choice, but they are here because they have no other choice, because of persecution, because of economic situations. And the one thing that is true about us and Daniel is, because we could think, well, we're living in a totally different time. But just like Babylon was full of gods and idols, the world in which we live too is full of idols. We're surrounded by them. We're surrounded by the idols of money and materialism and sex and power. All those things are worshipped. Daniel and his friends are going to show us how to live and act and honor him in a world that doesn't. It was God who sent him to Babylon. And it's God who's put us and planted us wherever it is that we are at this moment. And we're going to see that God not only uses Daniel and his friends, but blesses them in the midst of their second choice environments. And we're going to see that unfold as the weeks go on. So this morning we're going to see how three things about Daniel. Firstly, his conviction in verse 8. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. You know, up to this point, Daniel had been a pretty model slave. He'd not rebelled or tried to escape. He's engaged in learning a new language, a new culture. However, when he's faced with a decision that challenges and threatens his personal relationship with Yahweh, he's going to make a stand. What was the big issue for Daniel? Well, the problem was that the food and the drink that was provided by the king, this is good quality stuff that the king is providing, it had been sacrificed to idols. It was dedicated to certain gods. All this food and all this wine. And Yahweh's law forbid this. For Daniel to eat and drink in such a way would have meant breaking God's law and publicly acknowledging, honoring these false gods. Daniel wanted to obey God's law and to be holy, and made up his mind not to defile himself. You know, it's important at this point to understand that Daniel was not demonstrating against Babylon rituals. He's not out to change their laws. He's not taking a pot shot at the Babylonian culture. Daniel's conviction is, I will not defile myself. It's not Daniel against Babylon and their culture, but it's Daniel for his God. It's really important we see that. He's not kicking off about everything that's happening around them. He's not telling them they're so wicked and evil. He's saying, look, I can't do this. because of my relationship with my God, my conviction is this is not helpful or holy. Not eating food sacrificed to idols was a specific stand that Daniel made. It was something that was so important to him. I wonder when we think of our culture, areas of life in our culture, where are we being molded? Where have we been forced to conform? What areas of culture are trying to mold us and defile us? Where do we need to make a stand? Secondly, we see Daniel's courage in all this. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young man at your age? The king would then have my head because of you. You know, it would have taken great faith and courage for Daniel to make this request of the king's official aid. To refuse the food from the king himself who's provided this, you know, it's pretty rude, much of anything you'd say. And it could have led to punishment. And he would have stood out from all the others. Apart from his friends, you know, all the others, they're just going along with it. And they're probably trying to pressure him, saying, Daniel, you know, don't make a scene. You know, what does it really matter? We're in Babylon. We're not back in Jerusalem. No one's going to see. No one's going to judge us, you know. But he said, but God sees. And God knows. But he said, but don't rock the boat, Daniel. Not only that, the chief official was afraid that his head would rot if the king found out and saw that Daniel and his friends were looking pretty pale and sickly. It would have taken great courage for him to approach king's chief official to ask for this request. Daniel chose faith over fear. When we think about some of the things that are happening in our culture, some of the things that maybe we feel uncomfortable with, but maybe we feel afraid to challenge. Maybe we feel that if we say anything, then we're going to be pushed aside, or we're going to be labeled as fundamentalists or bigots. Where do we need to exercise courage in order to make our stand for God? Then there's Daniel's character, and this is the most important, because sometimes it's not about just doing making a stand for the right thing, but actually it's the manner in which you make that stand. It's the way in which you do it. It's how you do it. It's how you say it that needs wisdom. And Daniel's character shows us and demonstrates how wise he was. In verse 11, it says, Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. The first thing we see is that he is respectful. He's respectful. He respectfully goes to the chief official and ask if he can refrain from eating these certain foods. He doesn't ask it for a whole of everybody else, but he asks it for himself and for his friends. He respects the man who's in charge of him. He respects the king and his position and authority. He doesn't kick off and say, you know, I'm not eating that. He doesn't demand his rights or slander the king's food. He just respectfully and politely asks not to eat it. How should we act towards those in authority when we don't agree with This is the words of the Apostle Paul, Romans 13. He says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Wow. That's pretty challenging words, isn't it? When you think of some of the governments around in the world, surely you can't mean all of them. I'm guessing when Paul wrote those words, that the leader of the known world at that time, who was the Roman emperor, he was probably a good guy. So Paul could write that knowing that we'd all be able to submit to him really easily. Do you know who was at power at that time? It was a guy called Nero. Do you know what he was famous for? He was famous for executing Christians. His famous one was that he would tie Christians to poles in his garden, cover them with tar, and set them on light, so they would light up his garden at night. The guy was evil. Surely Paul's made a mistake there. What does Peter have to say about it? 1 Peter 2, he says, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Again, you know, that's pretty harsh. Surely not. Surely we've got to stand up for our rights. You know, we've got to demonstrate. We've got to make a difference. Why did I say this? I find it really challenging. But it appears to be God's way. And if I'm honest, the thing that I think is the reason is this, that authority problems are transferable. If you have a problem with authority, you have a problem with the government, or you have a problem with the police, or you have a problem with your boss, or you have a problem with your pastor, or you have a problem with your mum or your dad, or you have a problem with your teacher. Guess what? I think you're going to have a problem with God. You see, submission is such a humbling thing. Daniel submits and he respects those in charge, and he demonstrates it with his words and his actions. It's the way he comes respectfully, politely, the way he speaks. You know, the way we speak to people, even if we disagree with them, is so important. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 16, 21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. All along, Daniel speaks respectfully and wisely to the king's chief official. He is respectful. He's humble. He comes to him in humility. He submits to him. And he says to him, look, you know, you're in charge, but you know, you discern these things. You know, just test us. But at the end of the day, if you're not happy, then you make the decision. You know, I submit, I humble myself before you. You know, so often we go in demanding our rights, or we say, or we kick off and yet God clearly shows us through Daniel that he makes a stand in such a way. And of course, you know, this is not an easy stand for him to make, but he makes it in such a way that all those around him want to help him. Because of who he is. Thirdly, we see that he's diligent. You know, he doesn't say, well, just because if you're not going to do what I want, if you're not going to, you know, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. Verse 17, it says, to these four young men who God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Daniel and his friends apply themselves to their studies. They have a good work ethic, and God rewards them. They go above and beyond. Their character enables them to do the best job they possibly could where God has planted them. Even though they don't agree with everything, even though they have to make a stand on certain areas, they work and they study as hard as they can to be as good as they possibly can. We see in this that Daniel didn't fight every single thing that came up. Breaking God's law became clear to him, giving conviction to where to draw the line. Even in holding that conviction, he was wise. Daniel didn't cause a rift or barrier. He was respectful and humble in his convictions and remained diligent in his service to the king and his palace. That's how Daniel acted in the place where God put him. He didn't want to be there. He wouldn't have chosen to be there. And maybe for us, maybe we don't want to be, well, I'm sure you all want to be here if you're here in the building. But maybe we don't want to be where we are at our moment in time, where it's our workplace, where it's family situations. We certainly don't want to be in lockdown. We don't want to be in this pandemic. But God has planted us where we are at this moment in time. And if we're going to grow and flourish, we can learn some things off Daniel. Let's think about some of these things. What areas of life is our culture trying to unhelpfully mold us and defile us? Where, like Daniel, do we need to make a stand? Where do we need to break step? Where do we need to exercise courage in order to make that stand for God? And if we are going to break step, what manner and attitude is required for us to do it effectively? We're going to learn a lot of Daniel in the coming weeks. May our hearts be open and receptive to all that God wants to show us through this young man's life. May we pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your servants. We were thinking at the start of the service about every generation will praise your works. And Lord, we thank you for the Daniel generation. Lord, we thank you for him and his life and for that of those young men who were taken into exile at such a young age. And yet, despite their surroundings, despite all the pressure that was upon them to completely conform and to reject you and to worship false gods, Lord, we thank you that you gave them faith and courage and conviction to stand their ground. But Lord, we thank you too that you show us that the way in which they did that was just respectful. Lord, they did it humbly. They worked hard. Lord, we thank you for their witness in that land of Babylon. And Lord, we pray for ourselves that you would show us where areas in this life, in this culture that we are in, that we need to draw a line and say, we can go so far and that's it. And Lord, that you would help us to communicate really clearly why we do that. And you'd help us to do it in a loving, gracious, humble, respectful way. Father, I believe you sent the people to Babylon because actually Babylon mattered to you. Although they were wicked, they mattered to you. Your heart was still for them. And Lord, we thank you that wherever you placed us, Lord, the people around us matter to you. So Lord, help us to be good witnesses for you in those places. Give us wisdom, give us grace for your glory. Amen.